triple double hat trick. I know the code too. Ice tray, go for tray. Yeah, we cold too. Get in paper on this player. Haters old news. Money on the other line, so I'm not gonna hold you. Money on the other line, so I'm not gonna hold you. Money on the other line, so I'm not gonna hold you. Money on the other line, so I'm not gonna hold you. Money on the other line, so I'm not gonna hold. My agent just said we made 100 flat. Make it back and make it stack. This leg, no Steven Jack. Put my rings up in the camera like I needed that. Up in the air and at the rim is where I meet them at.
What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to another edition of I'm Not Gonna Hold You, man. I am your host, Scott Lewis. Of course, you know to follow me on all social media platforms. That is at Barb Chair Scott. That is Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, YouTube, whole nine, man. Follow the Barber's Chair at Barber's Chair Co. on all social media platforms. Follow our partners, H&B Media, at H&B Media TV on Twitter and at H&B Media on Instagram. And while you edit, follow the social platforms of the show. I'm Not Going to Hold You, at INGHY Show on Twitter and Instagram. I know it's called X, but I'm not going to call it. So Elon can go to hell. So I'm not going to call it. I'll call it if I want to. Anyway, follow me. Follow them on all those pages. Shout out to everybody who did watch the local hour. If you want to get in tune with the local hour, you need to subscribe to the Patreon. The link is in the description box. But if you're lazy and you don't want to scroll and you watch this on a TV or computer, you can scan the QR code that is on the screen right now. That QR code will take you up to the link. It will show you all of the different tiers that we have on the Barber's Chair Patreon. If you subscribe to the $5 I'm Not Gonna Hold You tier or the $10 Barber's Chair All Access tier, you will get the Chicago Sports Local Hour. We talk Bears and a whole bunch of other stuff. Me and Bane just did a nice breakdown on this upcoming week as the Bears get ready to go to D.C. to take on the Washington Commanders on Monday Night Football. And also, you can subscribe to my YouTube page, my personal YouTube page. That link is also in the description box. Or you can scan the QR code on the screen as well. The Scott Lewis Podcast, which is my solo podcast. I was just dropping it every blue moon, but now it's going to be dropping each and every week. On the Patreon, it'll be dropping on Monday. So if you're a Patreon subscriber, you'll get that today. If you're not a Patreon subscriber, you will get that tomorrow. So subscribe to all that. Also, like, subscribe to all of our different podcast platforms. So we appreciate everybody for checking in. Said, how about them Eagles? Y'all need a QB ASAP. I am not an Eagles fan, sir. We will be talking about the Eagles in just one second, though, because they are no longer undefeated. Shout out to everybody watching. But, yeah, man, let's just get right into it. Let's just get right into it, what we're going to be talking about today. Bang will be joining me within the second half of this hour. He's got some stuff to take care of, so appreciate everybody for doing that. But let's talk about the undefeated streaks that ended yesterday. The Philadelphia Eagles, the defending Super Bowl champions, lost to the Denver Broncos at home yesterday. That final score was, I'm looking for it right here. There we go. 21-17 was the final score. You had the Broncos defense really, really played good down the stretch. Jalen Hurts went 23-38, had 280 yards, 2 touchdowns. Saquon Barkley, not the best game on the ground yesterday. Only 6 carries. They didn't really even try to give him the ball. 30 yards carry, no touchdowns. Receiving-wise, Devonta Smith put in 114 yards, receiving no touchdowns. A.J. Brown, still not getting the I think what he wants, and that's more targets, only 5 receptions, 43 yards. But the Broncos on the other side, Bo Nix, or as Bo Monty Nix, as we like to call him on this program, well, he had a hit and miss game yesterday. I still don't know what to think about him. I think that he's good in portions, I guess you want to say. He's still going through the growing pains of being a year two quarterback. I think what we learn to do sometimes with these young quarterbacks is we gas them up and put them up on pedestals way too early. And I think that's exactly what happened in this situation. You got to understand that these defenses, once they're going to get ahead of you and know your tendencies and things like that, it's not going to be as easy for you to do these things that you're doing. To me, I look at it like this. Well, there's some questionable calls in this game, 100%. If you're an Eagles fan, you're probably upset right now because you kind of feel that maybe it should have been – the game should have been on the line at the 4-yard line with that I guess it's like defensive pass interference that they didn't call. You know, there was an intentional grounded flag that they picked up. A lot of questionable calls. But I also say when you play with fire, you get burnt. If you look at the way the Philadelphia Eagles have been playing these last 4 weeks of the season, they've been winning, but it hasn't been in a way that makes you feel good about how they win. Like, you take wins you get, especially when you're the champion. But the way they were playing is usually going to bite you more times than it's not. And that's what we saw in this game. I think the offense has been a real problem starting to this season. I think they're still trying to find their balance and what things work. Y'all know how I feel about Jalen Hurts. I'm not going to be up here and continue to rant on that. But I feel like they need to have more balance. Kind of what they did last year, where the running game was great. Saquon probably could have been MVP if the NFL actually honored positions that weren't the quarterback position when it came to winning that award. But The defense is still good, not to the level it was last year, obviously, but they've got to find balance. And also, there's a reason why there hasn't been a repeat champion in the last 20-something years since the New England Patriots did it in 2004, I think it was. And so you're seeing them go with that as well. But I think for me, I haven't seen them play any heavyweights in the NFC yet, so I'm really interested to see what it's going to be like when you do that. But I think they got a cupcake schedule. Pulling up their schedule right now, coming up. So, yeah, they got Thursday Night Football this week. They're going to be going to the MetLife to play the Giants. I think you can chalk that up as a dub. They got the Vikings on the road. They got the Giants again. They don't really have a tough game into the next, I say probably for the next month. They got another tough little 3-game stretch right there where they're going to Lambeau Field to take on the Green Bay Packers. They've got the Detroit Lions at home. And I know it's the Cowboys, but if you go back to week one, the Cowboys played them very well. And you can argue maybe the Cowboys probably should have won that game. So this one will be in Jerry World. And I feel like Dak right now, the way Dak has been playing, sounds blasphemous, but he's been putting MVP type of numbers up. So I do think those are going to be tougher games. Towards the back end of the schedule, they got the Chargers. They got the Commanders twice. They've got the Bills. So if you're an Eagles fan right now, I know that's why you're probably upset about yesterday, because you want to get as many of these wins in the beginning as much as possible. Because look at the landscape of the NFC. It's kind of it's like a four-way tie right now at the top of the NFC. Granted, it's week 5. You know, anybody with a brain knows that football doesn't really start till it gets cold as hell outside. But as of right now, they're tied for first basically with 3 other teams. The San Francisco 49ers are 4-1, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are 4-1, and the Detroit Lions are 4-1. So this is not something where they're 2-3 games up and they have a little room to play with. They got to be much better when it comes to being more consistent and having more of a balance on the offensive side of the football, I believe. So if I'm an Eagles fan, which I'm not, but if I was an Eagles fan, yeah, I'm irritated. You're never happy when your team loses. But I think you should have a reasonable take right now, because the next couple games you got, they should win. The Giants look like, if not the worst team in the NFL, one of the worst teams in the NFL. I mean, they lost to the damn New Orleans Saints last night. So that tells you everything you know right there. But the Eagles need to – I think this is a good thing for them in the stretch run, because when you get away with playing the way you've been playing, as bad as it's been, has been, you start to get a little complacent. Now they know what they messed up on and need to go in there and check that right away. And as far as the whole A.J. Brown thing, I haven't really been paying too much attention to it, because I've been watching football for about 30 years. And one thing we all know, the wide receivers are deepest. No matter how great the team is, no matter if fact that they're coming off a Super Bowl, no matter how much they're getting paid, if they're not getting the football, they're going to be upset. This is not the first time we've seen this. In fact, not the first time we've seen it in a Philadelphia Eagles uniform. We all know about the T.O. saga 20 years ago. So I do feel like they got to find a way to get A.J. the ball. He's arguably the best receiver. Some might think still is Devonta Smith. Regardless, that needs to be worked out in order for them to move on. And I don't think this is something that A.J. is going to make too much of a big deal about. I know he does what wide receivers do, but I don't look at this as a situation where it's overboard. So that's what I would do over this next couple of days, is find a way to get offensive balance once again. And I think there's any remedy for that. It's playing the New York Giants this Thursday on Thursday Night Football, man. Let's get these likes up, everybody. If you got any questions or comments, put it in the chat room, man. Like I said, Bang will be joining me in about 20 minutes up on here. But let's talk about the other team that did not go undefeated, were undefeated at the time and lost last night. That is the Buffalo Bills. The Buffalo Bills were 4-0 coming into this matchup against the New England Patriots. They lost 23-20. This was a very entertaining, I won't say entertaining is the word I use. This is a very competitive Sunday Night Football matchup. We have two teams that are division rivals. We had the Patriots, who have been in control of this division for 20 years, up until the last 5 years, where the Buffalo Bills have won the division the last 5 years. But now they've got a new quarterback, Mr. Drake May, who I think quietly, up until last night, has been having a really good season. Not really good, but a decent season, where you can see the growth. But yesterday was kind of like a coming out party of sorts. And I say that because the Patriots didn't have really, they might have had one primetime game last year, and I thought that May had a decent rookie season, a lot better than a lot of people thought that he would have. But yesterday, he showed his gun. Not great. He didn't have any touchdowns yesterday. And I know we live in a world where we look at the offensive output, touchdowns, that's all that matters. But if you actually watch the game, he was great. 22 of 30, 273 yards, converting big first down after big first down. He had a great connection with Stephon Diggs, who really went into Buffalo yesterday with a point to prove. Stephon Diggs had an incredible game. 10 receptions, 146 yards. Didn't get in the end zone, but he was just a menace, and he wouldn't let them breathe. Every time it looked like the Buffalo Bills defense was going to be able to get a stop, he came in right away and shut that down on that entire drive. The offense, the running game was up and down. Didn't really do too much in general. In fact, they only had about 70 yards receiving, not receiving, but rushing through all their backs. You had Trayvon Henderson had 24 yards off 6 carries. Ramondre Stevenson, that's a name, 14 yards off 7 carries, but he had 2 touchdowns. So you had a little balance there as well. But to me, the story right here isn't about the New England Patriots. And I say that because the Patriots, it was a great win for them, great win for that organization, great win for the new era under Mike Vrabel. But to me, what this was about was the Buffalo Bills. I told somebody this the other day. I don't think I tweeted it. But I said, with everything going on in the AFC right now, when you got the Bengals are out of it because Joe Burrow is, if not out for the rest, he should be out for the rest of the year because this team stinks and he should not be coming back to this place. Let's just say he's out for the year. You've got Lamar Jackson, the Ravens. That train that got completely off the rails these last, just to start the whole year. And now they've got major injuries and they lost again yesterday. And you got the inconsistency, I guess you want to call, of the Kansas City Chiefs. Well, the offense just doesn't look good whatsoever. And a lot of it has to do with the different receiving options that Patrick Mahomes has. He has, in my opinion, the worst weapons that he's ever had in his life. And that's showing right now. And that's without some of his best ones who still aren't playing. Xavier Worthy isn't playing. Rasheed Rice isn't playing. But they're still lingering around. And with the other Buffalo Bills, I said that they could have gone into that game against the Kansas City Chiefs in a couple weeks, 7-0. I'm just not impressed by what I'm seeing. And I haven't been impressed from the jump because of how this defense looked. The defense is keeping everybody in it. The defense is allowing everybody a chance to win the game. And that's what we saw yesterday with the way that New England, it kind of felt like New England dictated the pace of the game from the jump. And this was something where the Buffalo Bills offense was trying to play catch up the entire time. And you can't do that against a team that, in my opinion, is way more inferior than the Buffalo Bills. At the Buffalo Bills, if you're going to be Super Bowl favorites, you got to play like it. I don't think they played like it yesterday. So Josh Allen had a pretty okay game on paper, 22 of 31, 253 yards, passing, two touchdowns. We had a bozo pick. Like, that was vintage rookie year Josh Allen that we saw yesterday in that second half. Probably should have had two. The second one got taken away by a flag. But he was just so-so. Not the MVP performance you wanted. He also led the team in rushing, which you cannot do. James Cook had 15 carries but 49 yards. So that Patriots defense wasn't allowing him to do anything or get anything off, which was also a real key. So if you're the Buffalo Bills, there's a lot of teams that you look at any sport where there's a team that's been on the rise for the last couple of years. They've got the talent. They've got the superstar players. They've maybe got the coach. And I think Sean McDermott is an okay coach. He's not, you know, I don't think he's like an Andy Reid or, you know, anything to that level. But, you know, he's serviceable. I think you can win with him. There comes a point where you got to – potential can only do so much. And now it's time to win. And I think that's where they're at right now. And that's why I also feel what Baltimore was at, too, before they just completely fell off the map. And if you can't win the AFC and at least make it to the Super Bowl, winning is whatever, but at least make it to the Super Bowl in a year where Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow aren't a factor because of how bad their teams are and all the injuries. In a year where you've got Patrick Mahomes looking the most vulnerable he's looked in his entire career, then it's just never going to happen. Because I do believe there's going to be an inevitable trade that's going to happen by the trade deadline that's probably going to bring a better player over to the Kansas City Chiefs, maybe an Alvin Kamara, maybe a Breece Hall. I hope it's not Breece Hall, because I want the Bears to actually try to get Breece Hall at the deadline. But you got to really take advantage of this. And yesterday was a slip-up, in my opinion, where you can't allow that to happen in your own house. You can't get bullied the way they got bullied. That was something where the Patriots controlled everything from the jump. The Patriots defense let them know what they were and what they weren't going to do. And even the final touchdown, when they cut it down to like 7 points, so I don't want to call it a garbage time touchdown because it wasn't, because they were still in the game. But that was one of those late, let's see if we can get a miraculous comeback like we did against Baltimore week one type of things. And this defense of the New England Patriots just did not allow it whatsoever. So to me, the title race, just the NFL right now in general, this is why you see that the NFL is truly a week-to-week league. Because anybody can get got. Anybody can get got. All the top teams have been knocked out. There's not one team in the league right now that I just look like is miles better than anybody. Every team from the quote-unquote contenders to the playoff teams to the in-the-hunt teams have had their bad and their good looks these first 5 weeks of the season. In order to be a champion, you just got to play better. And I think that's what all the focus is right now on the Buffalo Bills is, can they step this up? I'm not really worried too much about the offense. I think yesterday they just run into a good New England Patriots defense. I think more times than not, they're going to look a lot better than they looked yesterday. But this defense is concerned. This defense is a major concern. This defense, I don't think it's going to get changed throughout the season. When you're giving up the amount of yards and big plays that this defense does, you need to kind of go to the bend but don't break model. Which is something that will help them a lot, because you have an elite quarterback, you have the MVP in the NFL, and he's going to be able to score more points than the other team more times than not. So can you at least hold teams to a respectable number? If they can do that, I feel really, really good about their chances. But if you look at their upcoming schedule now, you know, this is why I said they couldn't afford to lose this game. You got two more games for that big matchup at home against the Kansas City Chiefs. You got the Atlanta Falcons in Atlanta. Should win that game, but Atlanta is a team that plays much better home than they do on the road. And then you got the Panthers, which I think they should flat out kick the Panthers' ass. If that's a game, then they're more trouble than I thought they were. And that game on Sunday, November 12th, which is the national TV game, is the circle one for me. As we bring Bang back into the fold, is I want to see what do they have for the Chiefs on that one. That game could possibly decide if there is an AFC Championship game between the two, where that game is going to be at. But we got Bang joining us right now. You can follow Bang at JR Bang on all social media platforms. Bang, I was talking about the two undefeated teams that went down this Philadelphia Eagles and the Buffalo Bills, and how I'm not seeing enough consistency from both sides on them. With the Eagles, I'm more concerned about the consistency of the offense with the Bills, it's defense. What did you think about the two L's that they took this week, and what do you think how they've been these first 5 weeks this season?
Wait a minute, say that again. You have went in and out.
Oh, okay. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay. So I was saying, I was talking about the two undefeated teams that came, that lost this weekend with the Bills and with the Eagles. And I said they both need to find consistency. The Eagles need to find consistency on the offensive side of the ball, and the Bills need to find consistency on the defensive side of the ball. What did you think about these two losses they took this week, where they stand in the title hunt right now?
I think they were two terrible losses. For the Eagles to be up double digits against this team and not run the ball, I think Saquon Barkley only ran the ball once in the fourth quarter. That was a terrible loss. That was a terrible way to lose right there against a team that you're clearly better than. As far as the Bills go, I know if you look at TV and everything, everybody's talking about, oh, man, the Patriots, hey, they may have arrived and all of that stuff. I think that was just a terrible loss on the Bills' side as well. You don't let Drake May and the New England Patriots come into your home and beat you the way that it is. But these are also games that does happen. You like for these games to happen in the beginning of the season so you can assess and move on. But if I have to choose which one it was worse for, I think it was worse for the Eagles because, I mean – if you look at some of the analysts and how they're talking, this could potentially be a Super Bowl preview. We could see down the line the Eagles versus the Broncos in the Super Bowl. But they shouldn't have lost that game at home, up double digits, and not use Saquon Barkley or any running back that they have on there. I think they threw the ball too much. I won't necessarily say that they was doing it because their wide receivers have been complaining about the ball. You up 17-3 against the Denver Broncos, you run that ball out, and they did.
Yeah, you run the ball out, especially against, a defense that you can wear them down by doing that. With the Bills, I feel like the biggest thing for me is I've got more faith in the Eagles getting together than the Bills because the Eagles have done it before, and I feel like Nick Sirianni, once he actually finds a balance offensively, they'll be fine. I don't think this Bills defense is going to get better at all, and that's the problem for me. I think Drake May was incredible yesterday, but a lot of that was because of the defense. What did you see from the Bills defense this weekend and just the entire 5 weeks of the season that may have you concerned?
Shit, the whole damn line. Where are your linebackers at? Who do you have on your edges on the offensive line and on the corner? They are literally Josh Allen, James Cook, and the Temptations. You know what this team reminds me of? Just thinking about it, some of those, and this is, Scott, you might be a little bit too old or young for this, but those late 80s, early 90s Miami Dolphins teams, where outside of Dan Marino and like your wide receivers, you could not name anybody else on that team at all. And that's what scares me about the Buffalo Bills. It's not like they've invested just in Josh Allen, because Sean McDermott is a defensive person by trade. So to see that defense consistently just become terrible. Now, some of it is injuries. You know, they've had some injuries on their side and stuff like that too, but yeah, that is the issue. Their whole defense is terrible. And when we continue having these conversations about Josh Allen and his window, that just shows me how great Josh Allen is, or he's become. Because this team with the defense that they've put out there should not be in contention. They should not. You can only, like, what, Dawson Knox? You don't see him. I forgot the other tight end that they drafted. They got Keon Coleman there.
He's their number one wide receiver.
Right, and he's not elevated to where they wanted him to. Like, man, we've been, and Orlando just said it, but we've been talking about this for about the last 3 years. When is it time for Sean McDermott to go? But this is one of those things where we talk about the Baltimore Ravens. If he leaves, who do you bring in? Dalton Kincaid, yeah. Like, if he leaves, who do you bring in? That's something that you got to think about, too. So, yeah, this team is going to go as far as Josh Allen goes. So, I mean, unless somebody steps up on the other side, it really don't matter. And Ed Oliver, I think, is hurt now.
Yeah, and I think you bring up a great point about the coaches. Because shout out our boy Tosin. Tosin texted me yesterday after the Ravens game. He gave me like a list of like coaches, and they had like Brian Flores, Joe Brady, you know, all the names that we was looking at like a couple months ago. And I was like, brother, I want better for you than this list. at this point, like the coaching hire list is so bad that it's like, what's the point? You know what I'm saying? If you got even a somewhat workable coach, or at least a young assistant who can maybe with little backing and a little experience can be a Kyle Shanahan or one of those guys, maybe. But yeah, they're in the same pickle right now. And they're like the Spider-Man meme, them and the Baltimore Ravens right now. So I want to go into a random story this weekend, which came out a little blurry to begin with when we found out that Mark Sanchez got stabbed on Saturday. Saturday when we got that notification. I was like, what the fuck? Like, who stabbed Mark Sanchez? And then first it was like it was in a bar, and I was like, did he get hooked up with some indie animals? I'm like, well, what was happening out there? But then you know what I'm saying? I was like, yeah, we gotta hit Jeff T, find out what area of the nap town he was in, man. Like, what's going on? But come to find out, this brother was pounding a couple natty lights and got real aggressive with a delivery guy, beat him up to the point where the man was bleeding and still is in the hospital right now. And out of self-defense, he pepper sprayed Mark Sanchez and stabbed him to the point where he was in critical condition on Saturday. But then, in the words of Elaine Bennis on Seinfeld, the more pieces to the puzzle have been arrived, is this man was arrested in the hospital yesterday. Because come to find out, he was not the victim. He was the aggressor in this situation. Now we just got this tweet from Tom Pelissero. It says, authorities in Indianapolis have announced at a press conference that former NFL quarterback and Fox analyst Mark Sanchez now also faces a level 5 felony battery charge, which carries a 1 to 6 year sentence. He's obviously already been taken off the call for next week. They are going to be putting... who's the other guy that looks like Mark Sanchez, the other white coder? Matt Leinart, the other USC dude. Matt Leinart will be taking over for him. Man, this to me, man, I look at it like this. When I found out about this story this weekend, first of all, I hope the dude that he beat up will recover and things like that. But this is just, can you be more stupid than what he was? Like, you're throwing away your career. You might be throwing away your freedom now. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if he will go to jail. He might just get probation, but you never want to be in this situation to begin with. How bad has got to be that you sit in the hospital stabbed up and now the police come in like, yeah, all right, we got to chain you up, big dog. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, well, yeah, first a butt fumble and now poking up an Uber Eats driver. Well, what is going on? Okay, any comments on this before we move on?
It's terrible. This is, first of all, shouts out to racism, because you had media personalities, that I won't name, but to give them that, but you had media personalities, both white and black, that live on the other side of the coin, that really thought it was some brother, and some group of indie animals, that poked up Mark Sanchez. There was one part of the report that he was doing wind sprints in the alley. So I don't necessarily like to use this as an excuse. If you don't do some dumb shit, you do some dumb shit. But maybe that butt fumble gave him a record deal at CTE Records. I have no clue. Because only somebody that's dealing with some shit will be doing wind sprints in the Indianapolis alley. Like, I don't know who would be. I don't know if you think he flipped from above the rim or what. Wind sprints in the alley And then it's like, oh man, you double park. And then this man was 69 years old. My father is a spry 69-year-old man. So to see that man in the photo they got of that man in the hospital, oh my God. He's probably going to plead down and he's not going to get any jail time. He's going to get some probation and an ugly fine. Like, they're not going to puff him.
But no, they're not going to puff him. This.
But at the same time, he's a minority. So I don't know.
That's like, also very true. This is not Matt.
Indiana.
Yeah, this is not Matt Leinart, okay?
Like, this is not Matt Leinart. This ain't Peyton Manning. This ain't Eli. This ain't Cooper. This is.
Oh, if it was a Manning, we would have never heard about this story.
Yeah, we never heard of it. So he is this would have been like, gentlemen.
If this was a Manning, this would have been like when Kendall killed somebody on Succession in that car, and Logan was like, "Yo, you finna be my bitch," but we not got anybody finna hear about this. That's what would have happened. So, that'd have been Archie sitting down, Coop, like, "Yeah, they ain't finna hear about this."
But actually, quite honestly, I'm a little bit shocked and surprised, considering that he is a member of the Brown community. And the racism ain't switched. So maybe. I don't know. Racism.
Now, we don't know. How can I say this in the most non-Patreon way? We don't know if he one of them who think he. Yeah.
He clearly did. If he did. What
he clearly did. Must think he did. He must think there's some privilege here.
Yeah, he think he AC Slater before he found out he was Chicano.
Don't get me started.
I'm Chicano, bro. But no, long story short, this is terrible. This is a terrible look for Fox. This is a terrible look for Mark Sanchez and his career. He's already had dumb stuff that has happened in his career. And then this right here, and to see that man in that hospital room the way he was looking, that looks bad. And again, I'm not one of those people that said CTE, but man, it has to be something. He had to tweak. He had to do something else, but he need the Puff Daddy treatment. If that's what I saw, that man was 69 years old. If it was me, if it was you, I hate to say what I'm about to say, but I understand him being able to plead out and all of that. But the fact that this was a 69-year-old Uber driver, a 69-year-old man who was trying to get away from him and had to pepper spray and stab that man, and then he ran off, and then he went to the hospital. Like, nah, man.
After he got beat to shreds. Like,
yeah, no.
Mark I met Mark Sanchez. That's a big dude. Like,
that's the conversation needs to be had.
Yeah, he's a big dude. Like you said, like, you know, my father's 70. Like, so I can imagine, you know, somebody of his frame getting that happened to him by a dude that, you know, he's an athlete. He's a big dude. So I will say this. Yeah, I don't think he's going to get puffed. But, you know, I think that, like you just said, it's very much up for discussion because he is Latino. So in Indianapolis, there's somebody who lived in Indiana for 2 years. Hey, that's the birthplace of the Klan, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know how much they're going to take to that. Damien said he's a drunk football player, frat boy from Orange County. Can't blame CTE on this. It's a very valid point right there. Very valid point. And also, for those who don't know, Orange County is like the Florida of Southern California. A lot of Trump votes out there. But yeah, I hope that guy who he beat up gets healthy, man. But moving on, yesterday was the second week of the NFL's international schedule. You had the Minnesota Vikings beating out the Cleveland Browns in a last-minute touchdown for them to win that game. This is the second week in a row. And this is the first time the NFL is having seven international games. Okay, Orlando be putting comments I cannot put on this show. That is hilarious, by the way. But, the next year they will be moving us up to 10 international games. So in the first three, they were in Sao Paulo for week one, where the Chiefs took on the Commanders in Brazil, not Commanders, but the Chargers in Brazil. Then they had their first NFL game in Dublin, Ireland between the Vikings and the Steelers. And yesterday they were at the Ops Stadium at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. I am an Arsenal fan, so they are the Ops. I was like a Packer fan talking about, my Bears fan talking about the Packers. But that is a nice stadium. I cannot stunt. When I was there last year, brilliant stadium. Only bad thing I had to say is the media food they fed us was terrible because the Brits thought they were trying to be American by giving us chicken tenders. And I was like, this is not it. Okay. This is not it whatsoever. But I look at, like, I know a lot of people make a complaint about these international games. They guess it's going to be another game this Sunday at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium between the Broncos and the Jets. Then they're going to be going to Wembley on the 19th of October, where the Rams will be taking on the Jaguars. Then they're going to Berlin. After that, the Falcons will be taking on the Colts. And then the final international game of the year will be at the legendary Santiago Bernabeu, where Real Madrid play. And Jaden Daniels and the Washington Commanders will be taking on Tua and the Dolphins. Said Romo says the Dublin game might cost Ireland next season. Then one of the assistant coaches is son. Yeah, they got robbed. Somebody got robbed in London like a year or two ago. I don't think Roger Goodell is going to let his bag be interrupted because somebody was probably out there lacking. But I think a lot of people, a lot of Americans, we go over to these other countries and we think that Skylar it can't happen
Thompson.
Over there.
Skylar Thompson got robbed. Yeah.
Yeah, I want to, and this sounds terrible, but I want to know what he was doing. Because, you know, I don't know what it's like in Ireland, but I do know when I went to London last year, I was told a lot of things. One, they be poking dudes up there. So they don't shoot. They will poke you like this is Game of Thrones. Okay, so I don't know what it was in Ireland, but I think a lot of Americans, sometimes we go to these other countries and we think just because we're American that it don't go down in other countries, which is very ignorant. You know what I'm saying? So I definitely think that I hope he's all right. I hope nothing happened to him, but I don't think that's going to mess up Dublin in the game in the future because one player got robbed. If I can say, oh, well, that's fucked up. I'm imagine what Roger Goodell is saying. But these, to me, I like. This is why I like. A lot of people been complaining, but I like the growth of the game. The NFL is an American game, 100%, no doubt about it. It is America's new pastime. It is not baseball anymore. It ain't been baseball for a long time. If you look overseas or to these other countries, and I didn't really think about this until I started watching European football and just the way they consume stuff. I think it's like a two-sport world over there in the UK where it's really just soccer, and I think they like rugby, cricket, or whatever the fuck they be watching over there. Let me stop cussing. Whatever they like watching over there. You know, I feel like the growth of the NFL can help them be more, have more money over there and grow the game over there as well. So more games, to me, helps it. And it also feels like there's going to be potential here for there to eventually be an international division. There's been a little talk about it. I still think we're about 5 years, maybe even 10 years away from that actually happening. But I feel like there, as somebody who's experienced it live, that was a live game. It wasn't one of those things where you felt like, oh, it's just here, and maybe people from London and these other countries just going because of something to do. It really does feel like that it is growing over there, and they're having these different events out there, and it feels like real fans are showing up. Not just Americans, but actual people from these countries are coming, and I think that's great as far as the game. Yeah, you got to wake up a little early to watch the games. That might be something. You know, we don't like sharing our game, and I understand that, but overall, from a business perspective, I like it. I think it's dope. I think this year they have been sending better teams. Just want to let all of UK know the Cleveland Browns do not represent the best of this great sport from what y'all saw yesterday. But you get to see, Bo Nix. You get to see Trevor Lawrence. You get to see Matthew Stafford. You get to see Jaden Daniels. You get to see the other guys. You know, eventually I do believe they, you know, you got to see Patrick Mahomes. You got to see Justin Herbert. I think they should probably be better teams each year, but I do love where it's going from a growth perspective. And I think that this is going to be something that's just going to help the NFL. But what do you think about this, the way the NFL has been doing these international games? You think it's too much? You think they need to, you know, scale it down? Or what you thought about these so far?
No, man, I don't mind this at all. I love seeing football at 7, 8, 9 o'clock in the morning. That's cool with me. Look, I'm all for Super Bowl being overseas. Give me a brunch Super Bowl. I am all for Super Bowls and stuff being earlier in the day. I am for anything that ends at 7 o'clock. So I can kick it for the rest of the night and be slapped and get home and get ready to go to work. So no, I like it. I love it. I think we're cool with the cities and the nations that we're going to. I don't think we have to except for like Australia, right? With rugby and Australian rules football. I think that's the only other place that I will be like, yo, slow. And please, I mean, nothing against Turk know, Turk out here throwing out that money like crazy to everybody. But I don't want to see a game in Saudi Arabia either. Like, I'm cool with Saudi Arabia. That's it. Australia, let's get it. Now, don't get me wrong. I think if they build a football stadium in Saudi Arabia, shit look fine. It'd be the greatest stadium ever. Let me just say that. But move one more game to Australia, and I think we'll be all good.
Yeah, I think that, unfortunately, I do think eventually the Saudis will get into it. But I don't know. I feel like American sports, I think American sports are trying to bend. I don't remember that scene of Game of Thrones where Hodor was trying to break through. And he's like, "Hold the door." Like, I feel like American sports have been trying to not let the Saudis in, and they're still trying to bang on the door to get in. Like, we haven't seen a Saudi purchase of an American sports franchise yet. You know, in the Premier League, they don't really like it either, but they done bought like four or five clubs. If anybody who thinks, I always say when people were talking about the World Cup and, oh, well, they need to move this because of what's Trump doing and all that. Man, if you think the NFL is corrupt, the NFL is a church league compared to FIFA. Just look up how Qatar got the World Cup in 2022 and how that ties into the new owners of PSG. Then come back to me and tell me what you think about corruption. So that, to me, I feel like, yeah, I'm with you. I don't want to see a game in Saudi Arabia, but it would not shock me if it gets there. I do believe that there's going to be an international division within the next 5 to 10 years, and it's going to be something where – maybe what we kind of saw the Vikings the last 2 weeks, since the Vikings had to go to Ireland and they had a game in London where they stay out there. There might be something where you stay out the country for a month and you just take on all of the, let's just say, four teams that are there. Sounds a lot. I know a lot of people don't like it, but from a business perspective, I like the way this is working, man. But let's move on to our guy, or our former quarterback, Mr. Justin Fields. Now, I gotta say this about Justin, because I don't want to say this, but it's a little bit of tough love that I have to say. Now, there comes a time every year as a Bears fan where you root for these quarterbacks, especially the last couple of years, and that moment hits you where it's like, this kid ain't it. Now, y'all all know, if you are OG listeners of 79th and Hallis, I never want to miss Trubisky on this team. In fact, when they drafted him, that was probably our most watched, listened episode of the pod, because I absolutely lost it. And that's after I took a 2-mile walk down La Brea Avenue in Los Angeles to calm down. And I probably would have walked more if I didn't have to record the podcast. That's how irate I was. But I still gave the kid a chance. And I gave him 2 years. And then when 2019 came, and it was like week 4, and he still didn't have a touchdown, I was like, yeah, man, this dude ain't it. With Justin Fields, I think it was the second Packer game of his second, well, he got drafted in 2021. Yeah, so of his second season, I want to say. But I was just like, he got potential, but it's just not it. And we're seeing it right here. You know, he went to the Steelers last year. Everybody kept saying it was coach, coach, coach. And by the way, this is not me taking Matt Nagy or Matt Eberflus off the hook. They are just as complicit in Justin's development as anything. Just look at Daniel Jones. Coaching matters. Daniel Jones is like a different quarterback in Indianapolis. Coaching and the situation matters. Justin never had the coaching or the situation coming into the NFL, and he just was never able to respond to it. Granted, the book is definitely still out on Caleb. I don't want to be out here giving a victory lap about Caleb Williams like Caleb is some made quarterback. No. He is having a really good sophomore season so far. I think he's been a solid quarterback. And honestly, from the year and 5 games that I've seen from him since Justin left the building, everything I've seen from Caleb is better than everything I've seen from Justin. But the book is definitely still out on Caleb as well. But you see more potential. And they brought in Ben at the right time. That the bad tendencies that Caleb was picking up, we're already seeing those tendencies shred. Justin's tendencies are still there. And it doesn't make it any better that you tend to send him to two defensive-minded organizations. He went from one defensive-minded organization to the other two. Love Mike Tomlin. That boy can't score points. They ain't scored points in Pittsburgh since that quarterback who should be in prison right now left. So that is not a good situation for a young quarterback. And then you put him with the Jets. The Jets made Aaron Rodgers look bad. You know how bad you got to be as a franchise to make Aaron Rodgers look bad? That's how bad the Jets are. And then you're on top of that, you put him up with Aaron Glenn, like Romo said in the chat. We're going to talk about this in a minute. He's going to be a defensive coordinator again. It's just bad. Justin is the king of meaningless touchdowns. And you see the little amazing runs. You see the little deep balls every now and then that make you believe. It's like a woman that you're with, or if you're a woman, a man that you're with, who just does enough. You know what I'm saying? They forget your birthday, but then they, you know, maybe the dude bought you some flowers on a Wednesday or whatever. But then you forget he ain't nothing the rest of the week. That's pretty much what the Justin Fields relationship was a little bit. And you see it with the Jets as well. And I told my Jets fans, homies, when he does these spectacular runs, do not get excited. And that's what he's been. In fact, I got a stat. I named this on the local hour, but I've got the accurate stat right here of what it comes to Justin Fields and his NFL stats. So Justin Fields is 0-26 as a starter when the opponent scores 21 or more points. And the Jets are the first team in NFL history to start 0-5, and this on the defense, to not record a single takeaway. So that is not good news for Justin. I think this season pretty much is going to solidify that Justin's days as the starting quarterback is up. I don't think it's going to be one of those things where he's out of the league. Obviously, there's a way worse quarterback than Justin Fields. But I think he's going to be a backup. And that's unfortunate, but that's just what it is, man. I think that remember, Bang, when we were getting ready for the 2024 draft, oh, my God, the four longest months in Bears social media history, Bears discourse history, where everybody's talking about Caleb of the Hall. Tell me how that Hall is looking right now, looking at Justin Fields and looking at Marvin Harrison Jr. Does Marvin Harrison Jr. look like the receiver we thought he was going to look like? No, he does not. So imagine if we had both of them. Oh, my God. I would be worse than I am right now. It just doesn't look good right now for Justin. Tell me what you saw from Justin, what you've been seeing from Justin. Do you think it's curtains for our boy?
I said this at the beginning of the year. I think it was the first episode where we came back, where I don't know what the future looks like for Justin Fields, because I don't even see him as a backup. Like, what is he going to be doing to prepare? And part of a backup's job is to help the starter prepare. I don't see him doing that. So I don't think it's curtains for my boy. I don't think it's curtains for him. But it's damn near there. The fat lady is singing. I saw that stat that you had said that he's not won the game being down 21. And the first thing that I had said was, damn, how many people, like, what does that stat supposed to look like? If you down 21, what is that stat really supposed to look like? But I see traits. Like, I see good moments. That was a game that I was watching heavily. I saw a couple of passes to Garrett Wilson that flew past him. It was too long and stuff. I was more questioning in this situation. Did he go to the right team with the right offensive setup? Like Tanner Estrin, I believe is his name, the guy that came over from Detroit to become the offensive coordinator with the Jets. He was the passing game coordinator for the Detroit Lions. Is he too young in his infancy of a coach, an assistant coach, a coordinator, to groom and grow Justin Fields? Has Justin Fields been in the league long enough to where he is what he is? Or do we still see the potential of a Sam Darnold or Baker Mayfield? When you go to the wrong people, that's what happens. So I don't know if he has the right coaches around him to help get him where he needs to get. I think he needs to be around a vet. Think Romos is right. I think that seeing him with a Kellen Moore probably would have been better, or somebody that's a bit more expensive. But at the same time, it just may be a situation that Justin is who we thought he was. And it's something to look at. It might be something to look at about the pandemic. I don't know a stat. I've not looked at a stat or anything like that. But two quarterbacks that I look at that came through during the pandemic, Justin and Trey Lance, and look at them both. how successful are these, like, how really successful are these quarterbacks that went through the pandemic compared to others? I think it's something that's probably going to end up being talked about, studied, might be a 30 for 30.
And that's a good point, too, because you look at that 2021 draft, bro, it's booty meat all up in there, bro. Like, it's just bad. Like, if you look at, like, the top 13 from 2021, there's only one that I can definitively say is a superstar, and he's not a quarterback. That's Micah Parsons. You know what I'm saying? You know, even with Trevor Lawrence, I know he gets away with it because he has a complexion for protection, but he is just as much. He's been a mid-bag. The reason we call him Trick or Treat there.
Yeah,
like, but you bring.
Like, look at Trevor Lawrence. He's not where he ain't where we thought he was gonna be. Zach Wilson, I don't know where he at. Trey Lance, he was throwing passes that should have been thrown by Justin Herbert, and I would have had this parlay still alive. Mac Jones looks good with Kyle Shanahan. That's my point in this. You get these people with experience, maybe it looks better for them. Trey Lance looked decent in the preseason with Jim Harbaugh. But Zach Wilson, we don't know where he at. Trick off Trev is having a pretty decent season. Mac Jones is on his third team. And then you got Justin.
Yeah, and I think, too, you know, I think the thing about it is, you know, you talk about the Baker Mayfields and you talk about the Sam Darnolds. You know what's going to take from that? It's going to take a coach that believes in Justin, a coach that says, I can work with that. Because I know we all like to give, you know, Liam Cohen a lot of the credit for Baker Mayfield. I'm not saying he shouldn't. He does. You know who I'm looking at with Baker Mayfield? Sean McVay. Yeah. That little month he spent in Los Angeles changed that. What you seen that mean? We changed his broke ass life. They changed his broke ass life. That's what Sean McVay, just spending a month with Sean McVay, changed the trajectory of Baker Mayfield's career forever. And then Sam Darnold, who played worse than how Justin has played. You know, that point with Sam Darnold, somebody he was seeing ghosts in New York. Like, it was bad. You put him with Kevin O'Connell, and it just changed him to the point that now he's in Seattle without Kevin O'Connell, but he still looks decent. You know, he's not great, but he's a starting quarterback in the NFL. You know what I'm saying? And so if, who's going to be the coach out there who looks at Justin's skill set and says, I can do something with that? I don't know, because it was even hard getting him this contract with the Jets, because it was like, where are you going to go? That's why it took so long for the Bears to actually trade Justin. You know, everybody was like, oh, I want people to say you could got a second for Justin, which was some of the most asinine stuff I've ever heard in my life. Like, do y'all know anything about trade value? So, yeah, man, I hate to say it about Justin, but it might be curtains. It might. I don't know a coach out there is willing to take a risk, but if somebody doesn't take a risk, get ready to speak back up, my boy. Quick point on what I was just talking about with international games. We were talking about how we send our football to over there. Barcelona's going to be playing in Miami at the Dolphin Stadium coming up, regular season game, because their stadium isn't done yet. That's very interesting to kind of go off what we were just talking about with the international stuff. But I want to quickly talk about Ravens and Bengals. We ain't got to spend too much time on these bums. But you got the Ravens right now. Ravens and Bengals both dealing with injuries. Both are missing their quarterbacks. One is probably out for the rest of the regular season. And Joe Burrow, they are currently 2-3. And right now, and if you look at their upcoming schedule, I don't think it's going to get much better for the Bengals right now. They've got the Packers coming up in Green Bay. They got to go home to play the Steelers. So I think those are two losses right there. They got the Jets, which should be a win. They got the Bears. Look, there's a chance they could bounce back. They're only one game back, so I think the window of opportunity for Joe Burrow to come there is open. But then you look at the Ravens on the other side of this. Their season just got dark very, very quickly. The Ravens yesterday lost to the Dallas Cowboys, man. No, wait, was it Dallas Cowboys?
Yeah, well.
Was it Cowboys? The Cowboys beat the Jets. Cowboys. Yeah, they lost to the Texans. They lost to the Texans. They made C.J. Stroud. Yeah, they made C.J. Stroud look insane. They lost 44-10 at home. C.J. Stroud went 23-27 with four touchdowns. We ain't seen that C.J. in about 2 years. They only scored 10 points yesterday, man. So my question for you here, man, we ain't got to spend too much time on this, but do you think that Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow just sit the rest of this year out and then both teams should worry about draft position?
Ooh, that's that. No. No. I don't think that should happen.
Very high register then.
Yeah, it's very. Man, it's 5 games into the season, and you never know what could happen, not just for your team, but the other teams too. Well, For the Bengals, maybe so. I think if anything, the Bengals need to make a trade. I think there's somebody out there they could get that's better than Jake Browning. For the Ravens, you know, they could still go 9-8 and get into this thing, get into the tournament. And you don't want a healthy Ravens to be up in the tournament during this time. You know, this might be a blessing in disguise. I think they just got to get that defense in order. They can't stop nobody.
Yeah, looking at the schedule, like, I don't think either team is quote-unquote out of it yet. And the reason I say that – I won't say that yet because if the Ravens lose next week, they play the Rams next week at home. It doesn't look like Lamar Jackson is going to play. I think they say he's going to be out for, like, 2 weeks. I think he's going to be scheduled – 2 or 3 weeks. I think he's going to be scheduled to come back against the Bears, which, of course, obviously he'd come back against us. But if they lose to the Rams, now you 1-5. Even with the schedule, not like after that, you got the Bears at home, you're on the road to Miami, you're on the road to Minnesota, you're on the road against the Browns, you're at home against the Jets, at home against the Bengals, at home against the Steelers. Like, look, some of those are winnable games, but not when you're 1-5, because you gotta basically be borderline perfect. So I feel like if I'm Lamar Jackson. And it's not even a Ravens situation. If I'm Lamar Jackson, if this team moves to the Rams, I ain't gonna lie. Don't let me out. if we want to fight, I'm not gonna be coming up here risking anything, especially when we know I think he wants new contract money. I think it's been a rumor. So I'm not gonna be putting myself in line of danger for an offensive line that's been getting me killed this year anyway. Now, with the Bengals, it's a little different where you're like, maybe a trade helps them because they're only a game. No, they're 2-3. Much different situation than 1-4, and their schedule looks a lot lighter than what the Ravens does. I'm not going to say my overreaction is some overreaction Monday. I'm not going to say that they should, do that, but it's something I would look at. Bang, I know you got to bounce, so. I'm going to let you take care of what you got to take care of, man. Follow Bang and JR Bang. I'm going to finish this off for y'all. But, yeah, I'm not ready to say that this is a situation where both teams should wave the white towel. But it's getting close. It's getting close. And especially if I'm Joe Burrow, like, fix this offensive line. It's a damn shame what they've been with this offensive line since Joe Burrow's been there, man. Quickly, what's about head coach hot seats, man? We're about a quarter into the season already, 5 weeks into, and there's a lot of coaches out here look like they could be getting the unemployment line. I think Aaron Glenn is at the top. I had a nice discussion on Twitter about this yesterday. One of my followers, I don't know his name off the top of my head, he's cool people. Always cool to talk to him on the Bird app. And he was saying that, you know, he probably shouldn't have took the job because the Jets and their situation, the Jets have just always been bad. Well, I understand that when you're a black head coach, the opportunities don't come like that. And unfortunately, you got to almost kind of take what gets offered to you. And it wasn't just the Jets. I think he had other options, too. I think he interviewed for the Jaguars job, and there was like one or two others he interviewed, too. But they were all bad teams, which usually what happens if you're looking for a new head coach. You're probably a bad team. But this was something to me where he had to take it. But I feel like that he's going to be a defensive coordinator again. This is just not good. They're the only winless team in the NFL right now. Even the Saints won a game yesterday. That's something I would be looking at. Mike McDaniel, he's going to be out of here. One thing about Mike McDaniel, somebody's going to get a hell of an offensive coordinator when he gets fired, 100%. I don't know if Raheem Morris is done yet, but he is pulling up the Dunn Boulevard, in my opinion, of how I feel like that's going to look in a couple of weeks. So those are just a couple of the guys who I think could be getting fired very soon as well, man. Going to wrap this up with tonight's game. Monday Night Football here on, I say here, like I'm on ESPN. Not on ESPN yet. Y'all could pay me to do that. But anyway, Monday Night Football tonight, this will be in Jacksonville. Yeah, in Jacksonville. Jacksonville Jaguars, who are 3-1 right now, will be hosting the best player, best quarterback in the NFL still. Don't care what y'all say. The Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, Kansas City Chiefs. 2-2, big win for them, possibly, to get this. Jacksonville has been playing a lot better than I thought they would. I'm not overall over the top impressed yet, but I definitely did not have them 3-1 after the first four. This is a big game. I can't remember the last time there was a Monday Night Football game in Jacksonville. It might have been last year or the year before. I don't know. I don't follow Jacksonville Jaguars football. But this, to me, I think is going to be an intriguing game. You get to see Travis under the lights for the first time as an NFL player. And just the way that the Kansas City Chiefs offense has been moving this season, it doesn't look like something where they've just been lights out and there's going to be opportunities to win this game if you're Jacksonville. Having said all of that, I think the Chiefs found something last week. I think there's going to be a lot of ugly wins that they're going to be getting. But at the end of the day, they're wins. I got the Jacksonville Jaguars losing. I got the Kansas City Chiefs winning this one. And I got the Kansas City Chiefs winning by 10 today as well, man. So that's what I got for that, man. But that's all I got for y'all today, man. Appreciate everybody for tuning in. Shout out to everybody who subscribed to check out the Local Hour. If you have not checked out today's Local Hour, if you are a subscriber to the Patreon, the episode is up right now. The video is live, ready to go. I'll be posting the audio up at some point today. But if you have not subscribed, you need to subscribe. The link is in the description box. If you're too lazy to click that, you can take your phone up to the screen right now, scan this QR code, and it will take you to all four different tiers of the Barbershare Patreon. If you subscribe to the $5 tier for I'm Not Gonna Hold You, or the $10 tier, Barbershare Access, where you get everything, including all of the I'm Not Gonna Hold You clips early, including early 79th and Hallis episodes, including summer sessions. We finally dropped a new episode last week. That is available right now. All of that stuff. Then you will get the Local Hour on there. You get the video and you get the audio. You will also be getting the Scott Lewis Pod, which is my solo podcast where I talk about anything under the sun. I talk a little sports. I talk a little entertainment business. I talk a little bit of everything. So today I'm going to be talking about a lot of stuff. Today I'm going to be talking about my trip to Ohio State this weekend. And we'll get into some more NFL talk as well. A couple other points I wanted to expand more upon. And I'm also going to be talking a little bit of soccer on there as well. So come join. About to record that right now. That'll be up on the Patreon in a couple hours. And if you're not subscribed to Patreon, you don't want to pay, you still want to be convinced that you need to sign, it will be up on my YouTube tomorrow. And if you have not subscribed to my YouTube page, the link is in the description box. And you can scan this QR code as well if you don't want to click on that if you're lazy. I'm helping you out. The link is in there, and you also got the QR code, man. So I appreciate everybody who supported me, supported the brand. I cannot do this without y'all. We cannot do this without y'all. So that is all I've got for y'all today. I appreciate that. Shout out to Bang for joining me. Courtney and Dante should be back on Friday. I know Dante will be. I don't know about Courtney. But we'll see how that goes, man. Shout out to everybody for watching. Y'all have a great day. Enjoy today's games. Oh, I also will be talking about the MLB playoffs on the Scott Lewis Pod. They did not have time to talk about that on I'm Not Gonna Hold You. We'll be talking about this weekend's games. I've got some thoughts wrapping this weekend in the playoffs. There's two playoff games tonight. You've got the Dodgers and the Phillies starting tonight, and you got the Cubs and the Brewers. Can the Cubs get a big win before heading back to Wrigley for the maybe next two games? We'll see. So check all that out, and, of course, Monday Night Football. So y'all enjoy y'all day. Y'all enjoy y'all week. I'll holler at y'all on the Scott Lewis Pod and on Friday. I'm up out of here.